it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Welcome back in. Hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Got a loaded show for you today. It is day one of name, image, and likeness laws in college athletics, and some movement already all over the place between college athletics in this country. We'll get to that coming up at 8 o'clock. Going to have David Ubben from The Athletic join us at 8:30 to talk about how that's affecting the Tennessee Volunteers so far. Already some movement this morning on that front as well. And by the way, another transfer yesterday out of the Tennessee football program, so another day that ends in Y at this point. So
yeah, what's up with and Dar- that's why
Daryl Middleton?
Why is Daryl Middleton leaving?
I don't know. I have no
that's
idea.
A loss.
And why is it happening on June 30th?
Well, I know that today now is well July 1st. This is also the deadline for the one-time transfer, right? I think it is.
Yeah.
So that's why.
I guess that's why. But
by the way, yeah.
Why'd you wait so long?
Well, right. I mean, maybe just not sure, and then it's like, yeah, if you're going to get the one time, you got to do it right now. But that was surprising. By the way, too, if Scottie Pippen Jr. was going to transfer, that's the deadline for him, too. That's an interesting situation with him.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he wasn't even at the comp. I mean, he's not really on the radar to be drafted. So, to me, it's either you're coming back to Vanderbilt now or maybe you know, G League or whatever, right? Or Europe or something. But anyway.
See what happens on that front as well. A lot to get to on college athletics coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. Game two last night, Joe, of the Stanley Cup Final. And Tampa Bay wins again. 3-1 win last night for the Lightning. They take a 2-0 series lead, two wins away from back-to-back Stanley Cups for the Lightning. And it was one of those games, Joe, where I thought Montreal did a pretty good job at holding them down for the most part. I mean, Tampa Bay finishes with 23 shots on goal, and they had a couple of turnovers that ended up costing them. I mean, there was basically a Superman dive from Blake Coleman where he scores with 3/10 of a second left in the second period to give the Lightning a 2-1 lead. But Montreal, they outshot them 43-23 last night. Just couldn't get to the middle and get some of these quality opportunities. And I guess you could view that a couple of different ways. That was, to me, a game where I was like, okay, well, you know, Montreal, you could at least play with them. So it's not like you're just getting blown off the map out there. But I think you can also view it as a pretty good opportunity for Montreal last night to get back in this series and even things up at 1. And you play that well and you still lose 3-1. That's maybe not a good sign moving forward here. Now, I mean, let's be honest. You have to beat Tampa Bay 4 out of 5 times now. That's just, in all likelihood, not going to happen. So, big win last night for Tampa Bay, and I'll be honest with you, Joe, kind of feels like this series is over at this point.
Yeah, it's kind of too bad. It's kind of too bad that this is the final series. I'm sorry, you know. I mean, great story.
All respect to Shea Weber.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool that he gets to play in a Stanley Cup final, but they're not going to win it, and they had to get one of the two. And it seems to me like, having not watched every second of that game, but it seems to me like a lot of those shots were sort of from the outside and not real high-danger stuff.
Yep.
Still, I mean, it's a good number. And certainly watching a lot of the third period, I mean, they had some chances there. Down a goal. They had a few real nice chances and just couldn't you know bury it, but it's going to be tough. And we could have had better series than this, but we didn't.
We did not. And Mike Kelly from the NHL Network, who kind of keeps track of, you know, these advanced stats, he tallied up the grade A chances last night. I mentioned the shots being 43-23 for Montreal against Tampa Bay. The grade A chances, 5-1 in favor of Tampa Bay. So 43 shots on goal.
One grade A chance, according
to Mike Kelly.
Boy, that's tight. I feel like I saw a couple, at least grade B-plus chances.
Yeah, like I don't know if I fully agree with that, but it's not much more than that. Tampa Bay, it's kind of amazing to watch them and hear what the narrative is around them, because they're known as like this offensive juggernaut. I mean, which they are. They can score. I think probably the key to their success the last 2 years is they can just lock it down. They lock it down defensively. They got the best goaltender in the world. They got maybe the best defenseman in the world. And you got three guys at the forward position that are pretty good on that part of the ice as well. And then, look, you've got guys like Blake Coleman, Superman diving out of nowhere, scoring goals. Andre Palat scoring big goals. I mean, they're just loaded from top to bottom. And you brought it up the other day when we were talking about this. You look ahead to next year, and, yeah, there are some challenges that they're going to have in order to get salary cap compliant, just like a lot of teams when you start to make runs like this. But they're not receiving enough love next year either for maybe going back and three-peating, because I think at this point I would be shocked if Montreal comes back and wins. Like, I expect Montreal to get a game. I don't think that they're going to get swept, but I would be shocked if Montreal comes back and wins, and that means back-to-back Stanley Cup champions for the Tampa Bay Lightning, and I think their chances of three-peating may be pretty good too.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, what is the reasoning to not pick them next year?
I don't know. My guess is because it's just so hard to three-peat. I don't know. Like, is that it? Because I mean, it's not like they're losing.
I mean, their core is coming back, right?
There. Yeah.
Including a pretty good goaltender.
Yeah, I would say so. Though it's, I don't know. I don't know what the reasoning is for that, but they just continue to chip away. I mean, look, I didn't pick them to win this year. I picked them to win last year. I thought that Carolina would be the one coming out of this division this year, and Tampa Bay dispatched with them pretty easily in these playoffs. They're so good. And I know a lot of people are talking about the salary cap with them, and I get it. They're $18 million over the cap right now. It's not good. But, I mean, look, it's not their fault. That's the NHL's fault. You got to find a way to fix it. This happened in 2015 with the Blackhawks as well. I don't know why it's so hard. And Gord Miller of TSN tweeted this out last night. Like, this is not the Lightning's fault, but if you want to fix it, if you're the NHL, it's pretty simple. You've got to be cap compliant in the regular season with your roster. Just make your playoff roster with the lineup that you're dressing, the 20 skaters that you have with the 18 skaters and two goalies. That lineup's got to be cap compliant. It's not really that hard. I don't know why this can't be a very simple fix for the NHL.
Yeah. And this is another one of those situations that brings – everybody screams about it, and then you forget about it until the next time it happens, you know. But
and it will happen again.
Probably, yeah. Probably worth exploring. But, yeah, I mean, obviously they're going to have to – they're going to have to say goodbye to some people, but, I mean, Kucherov, Stamkos, Point, Johnson. So, I mean, all everybody's signed up for next year. Hedman, I mean, gosh, they have a lot of – they. You look at their salaries, I mean, it's a lot of people in the 5, 6, 7, 8 range. More than – I mean, when you look at the numbers, it's like, wait,
they're going to have to trade somebody.
How do they pay all these people?
Well, yeah, they're going to have to trade somebody. They're going to have to. It's going to have to happen.
So they're going to have to be weakened to some extent. But again, to me, when you have, they're not going to move any of the stars, you know?
No.
I mean, Kucherov and Stamkos and Point, who's only 25.
I mean, you're talking Tyler Johnson or Alex Killorn, maybe Andre Palat, like one of those guys.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, look, they've been really important to what they've been able to do. But that's going to be how you have to fix it if you're Tampa Bay. You're going to have to trade a couple guys.
Palat's a free agent after next year. Yeah. So there's a, you know, yeah. So they'll look different, but I'd still feel good. I mean, maybe it's just as simple as, I mean, if everybody's picking Colorado, it's just this idea of like, well, they're just.
Like at some point.
They're
well,
just,
that's what Tampa.
Well, they're loaded. Yeah. Eventually it's going to happen. Maybe they are just going to overtake them, you know. But I still want to see Colorado win in that gritty style in the playoffs.
Yeah, once you get to the conference final one time.
Right.
Be a good start.
Just say
bleep. Haven't done that yet.
I want them to say bleep it and let's go.
Yeah, don't we all? With Adrian Dater. Ugh, boy. Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. And then the other part of this for Montreal, like I feel like this is really kind of their last shot because you've got a young roster. You've got – you know, Suzuki and some young guys that you feel good about. But Carey Price, not getting any younger. Shea Weber's not getting any younger. You know, Corey Perry and Eric Staal out there zooming around. They're not getting any younger either. So this is probably going to be a one-and-done trip for Montreal to the Stanley Cup Final would be my guess. And then they brought this up on the broadcast the other day, talking about, you know, the opportunity here for Shea Weber specifically, if they can win a cup, and even getting to this point, what does that do for him when it comes to the Hall of Fame? Because I think he's right there. I mean, you're talking about he's been in the league for 16 years. He's played at a high level for 16 years. The offensive numbers are there. The goal scoring certainly is there. And people will say this doesn't matter, but it does. I mean, when you're known for something, like he's known for that slap shot. I mean, think about Al MacInnis. He was a great player, but he's known for slap shot. Shea Weber, he's known for that howitzer of a shot. He's won 2 gold medals. It's not an NHL Hall of Fame. It's a Hockey Hall of Fame. Like, I think he's right there. And if they were to win a cup, I think it certainly puts him over the top. I think he may be a Hall of Famer anyway, though. So he's right on the edge.
If he goes in the Hall of Fame, whose jersey is on his display?
I don't know, man.
Especially if he wins one with the Canadiens.
If he won one, I don't think there'd be any discussion.
Yeah, right. I would agree.
It may. I mean, look.
But his best seasons were in Nashville, though. I mean, you could say he's been great this year. But like, if somebody wins a cup with another team, despite their clear best seasons, being somewhere else, I still think it'd be really silly to put him in a Canadiens one up there.
That'd be interesting. I mean, if I were him, I mean, when he came back. You know, that first year when he came back in the presser, it was sort of like, it was fresh then, but he wasn't happy.
Oh, no.
About all that.
No.
At all. You know, so does that influence how he would think about that? I don't even know, like, what the displays are like, but I assume you got to pick a uniform, right?
There's
a picture of you in a uniform, right?
Maybe they just do multiple. I don't know.
Do a split screen thing?
Maybe so. What happens to, like, when you get a Hall of Famer that's played for, like, 13 teams? How do you end
that?
Well,
that's the thing. I was thinking about, like, you know, some of these Red Wings teams that I used to love where it's like you got, like, Brett Hull.
Yeah, like, Brett Hull played for everybody.
You got Luke Robitaille in there. You got a little Shanahan. Shoot, man. Dino Cicerelli. I mean, is Dino Cicerelli in the hockey? He better be in the freaking Hockey Hall of Fame.
I think he is.
That's like my favorite player ever, man. Talk about a guy who used to just get the crap beat out of him to stand in front of the net.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, some of those guys, like, what were their choices? I don't know. Now I'm intrigued to go to the Hockey Hall of Fame and see.
Cicerelli is in the Hall of Fame, by the way. 2010, he was inducted. There you go.
What uniform does it say? Does it show? Does it show a picture?
I'm literally looking at a picture of him right now in 3 different uniforms. So I have no idea.
There you go.
I have no clue.
Anybody who's been to the Hockey Hall of Fame, let me know. Dino Cicerelli, what uniforms he in?
Including one uniform of the London Knights, his junior team.
Oh,
so
nice.
I'm going to assume it's not that one.
Like Brett Hull, he's got to be in a Blues uniform, right?
Yeah.
He's got to be.
Yeah.
Like some of the Gretzky is in an Oilers uniform, right? I mean, of course.
Gretzky in a Blues?
Or is Gretzky in a Kings?
It would be.
No, he's got to be in an Oilers.
He's got to be in Oilers. Although they
do jerseys at the Hall of Fame? But maybe they just do the plaque. I don't know.
Maybe they take it out of the equation.
Put a hat on the bust.
I like to think that Shea Weber, because I think he, like you said, man, you factor in the entirety of the career with the gold medals.
I think he's a Hall of Famer.
The longevity? I mean, I think he is too. I'd like to think that he has his choice, and that's an intriguing one.
It is.
He'll probably just pick a Team Canada jersey.
Yeah.
You
know what? Milwaukee Admirals going in the Hall of Fame as a Milwaukee Admiral.
Oh, nice.
Maybe that'll be what happens. When we come back, one team has punched their ticket to the NBA Finals. And meanwhile, the Eastern Conference Finals, we've got ourselves a series. Lots of stuff going on right now in the NBA. We'll get to all of it coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. This Friday, it's your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you correctly guess which player scores a goal in the game this Saturday night, you win a prize pack and a 4-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Next chance to participate is this Friday morning, tomorrow at 9:45. We'll have that opportunity for you coming up then. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell, here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And A ticket has been punched to the NBA Finals. The Phoenix Suns, they get it done last night in an offensive explosion in the second half from Chris Paul, who was unbelievable last night outside of the flopping escapades that continue with him. It's awesome to watch. Not a big Chris Paul fan, I got to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's hard, man, because he was incredible last night. And that little behind-the-back move where he leaves himself alone in the
great
baseline.
Great player, but stop flopping.
Yeah, but I don't even think that DeMarcus Cousins should have had a foul on that play.
No.
I really don't. He was reaching for the ball, wasn't he?
Yes.
Like the elbow happened to brush Chris Paul, and then he's like, ah! And then Chris Paul's like, yeah, you tweeted about, get him out of here, get him out. You know,
yeah,
it drives me nuts.
Chris Paul doing that has just become so much a part of the shtick. It's like Gallagher smashing watermelons at this point. Like, as annoying as it is and as gimmicky and just as bad as it looks, like, at this point, I've accepted that's Chris Paul. That's Chris and Cliff Paul.
Yes.
But people want Gallagher. Well, people want Gallagher to smash watermelons.
Yeah.
Like, people go to the show. Is he? Did he pass away?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay.
I don't get it.
I was about to say, rest in peace, Gallagher. But people go to the show.
He might
some
be.
People,
yeah,
pump, some
know.
People. Well, I'll Google that.
Yeah.
But some people, you know, wear the raincoats. They like that. No. Like, who goes to the game and wants Chris Paul to act like this? Like, if he didn't act like this, I think he'd be one of the most popular players.
But he's done this his whole career.
Yes.
That's why it's
but I
very
feel like,
annoying.
Isn't it worse though? Like, I feel like he's. It is. It's almost like playing the heel now in the last few years.
Yeah.
More. Maybe I'm wrong.
He rubbed me the wrong way at Wake Forest too. Like he was just like that. Except maybe he was a little bit of a dirtier player at Wake Forest. Now it's maybe less dirty, more annoying and flopping.
Yeah.
But he's in the finals.
He's in the finals.
For the first time.
A 130-103 win last night for the Phoenix Suns against the Clippers. Before we get into the game, did y'all see Steve Ballmer last night?
Yeah.
The owner
weird.
Of the Clippers.
That was interesting.
Celebrating, I guess, is the way to put it.
I'd really like to unsee that. Celebrating,
grabbing people.
Sexually assaulting. Yeah. I don't know what that was.
Just
that was
squeezing some thighs, man. You know?
I don't know what was
give
going on there.
Give those thighs a squeeze.
is that your first instinct whenever you see a bucket go in? I got to squeeze my friend's thighs really quick.
Really quickly.
And they're both like, what is going on, man?
It was all over Twitter last night. I was like, Steve Ballmer, he's an interesting guy.
That went very viral. Yeah. And then, someone was like, okay, and then, you know, the Suns start just
wearing them out.
And someone was like, can we get another Ballmer shot now?
What's he doing over there now?
Yeah, that was interesting.
Chris Paul, 41 points last night, 8 assists. The Phoenix Suns going back to the finals for the first time since, what, 93?
Correct.
The team that absolutely should have won the NBA Finals that year.
And then Michael Jordan.
And then there'd be a little bit less of the Jordan hero worship. There'd be no one could tell Barkley that, you know, that he doesn't have a ring, because he should have, because he was, to me, I mean, he was MVP that year, and he was unbelievable. That team with KJ, with Marley, man.
Thunder
Day. 90s basketball.
I love those Phoenix teams when they got Barkley, and they really should have beat Jordan.
You know what I also love and miss?
But they didn't.
90s basketball jerseys.
That was the best part about the 90s.
That was the best part about the 90s.
Let's not kid ourselves.
Jerseys were awesome. Like, I don't know. I don't know what the Utah Jazz has been trotting out there the last couple of years with, like, this burnt orange crap. But the
90s, sunrise jerseys.
Yeah, the sunrise jerseys. But the 90s Jazz jerseys were amazing. Mm. I will say, I do like the Phoenix Suns jerseys now. The Valley ones, they're pretty good. I like those.
Those are nice. But the ones back in the 90s were sick, too, with the sun
they're
on
awesome.
It. Like they were so more cartoonish in the 90s that they're just better. The Raptors had, like, the actual dinosaur on the jersey. There were more pinstripes.
Life was so much simpler back then.
See, but man. When I think of the 90s, I think of the Pistons. Let's go teal and put a horse on the jersey.
Yeah, that was bad.
I mean, there
hey,
was
I'll some, take that.
That
I kind of like it.
The best jersey of the 90s are, like, the jerseys that were – still the jerseys in the 70s and still are now, like, say, I don't know, Lakers, Celtics, Bulls. I mean,
I don't know if they're the best.
Sorry.
Jerseys, but yeah.
The Bulls pinstripes, when they had the black the pinstripes on them, those are sick.
Those are pretty cool.
The ones now, I guess, they're iconic because of one, like, era of team. But
I like when a team has a It's a branding world now today in sports, right? When a team has a brand, like, stick with it. It works. I know that as that's the Boston Celtics, right?
Sure.
I mean, I would like to see the Phoenix Suns still have the Phoenix Suns jerseys from back then.
93.
When KJ was their point guard. Yeah.
Well, let them know.
I'm just saying.
They've never had a bad one, though. Like, the Suns have changed a lot. They've done a lot of different rebranding, but I don't think they've ever had a bad one.
But what's the point of, I mean, other than, oh, now fans have to buy this one, too. I understand
that's the point.
Yeah. But I appreciate sports enterprises that have something
classic
and stick with it. Yeah. Like the stupid, whatever. I've already complained this week about their, like, pro combat uniforms in college.
Yes, you have.
Whatever.
The Suns punching their ticket to the NBA Finals, and the door's still open in the Eastern Conference. The Bucks and the Hawks tied at 2. And now the question is, who in the world's going to be available for this game tonight? Is Trae Young going to be able to play? What's going on with Giannis? He hyperextended his knee. There is no structural damage to Giannis and his knee. So
great news.
You feel great about that, but can he play? That's going to be the question as they move forward tonight in Game 5. Is Trae Young going to be in there? Is Giannis going to be in there? And if it's not, if it's a wash, we had Jeff Zilgut on yesterday, and I agree. I think it favors Atlanta. Like, I thought it was really embarrassing the way Milwaukee came out in that game the other night. And it felt like a team that just said, oh, well, they don't have Trae Young, so we'll be fine. We're just going to cruise. And if you have that mentality in the Eastern Conference final, that does not really speak well to your group, in my opinion.
Yeah, they were absolutely a notch below in intensity, which is inexcusable. So I agree. And I don't think either will play tonight. I mean, Trae, maybe. There's a chance. But based on it's going to be like a game-time decision and there's pain and the movement, to me, them knowing there's no way Giannis is playing. Now, I hope we get to see him before the series is over, but there's no way tonight when you just hyperextend your knee. So I would think that the Hawks would probably be like, you know what, let's give Trae a couple more days. And maybe they'll both be back for Game 6. That'd be awesome. But I think tonight it's going to – I don't know. Maybe Milwaukee then responds to that.
Maybe. I mean, they are –
and
they'll be back
at
home.
I mean, I could see them still finding a way. I still think that they're overall better than Atlanta. You take those two stars out, I think they're still better.
Oh, and then throwing the fact that Clint Capella might not play either.
Yeah.
And that's the NBA rebounding champ.
Yep.
You know, and the guy who basically in all the games that Giannis struggled in this series is because he can't drive past Clint Capella, and Clint Capella is affecting every single shot he has around the rim.
He just dunks everything on the other end. So yeah.
Exactly. And so if there's no Capella, I mean, you're going to have to play Onyeka Okongwu some starter minutes, and I don't think he's played more than 20 in a game, in a postseason game, all season long. So that's tough. It's a experience he's never had. So
yeah, that would be real tough for them.
So if it, regardless of how this series ends up, and let's just say at some point Giannis is able to play again and Trae Young's able to play again, either one of those teams, are they taking down Phoenix at this point? Phoenix looks pretty good. They look pretty good out there in the West.
I think Milwaukee, if Giannis were to be full Giannis, I think we could have a good series there. But is that realistic? I don't know. I think Phoenix is definitely the favorite to win it all now.
That's fair to say just because of how bad Milwaukee looked, even with Giannis in Game 4. But, like, Milwaukee's done that a couple times in these playoffs.
They have.
Like, they will lay some absolute total eggs. I mean, they did it in the Brooklyn series. They almost lost by 50 in Game 2. They're just so deep, too, that I'm just not willing to throw it out. Even without Giannis, I fully expect them to beat the Hawks in Game 5, just because, like, when Chris Middleton's on,
Elijah,
like, he's
the
one of the best scorers. Yeah, it's like a mirage to me. I just almost literally cannot believe that I'm seeing
either
them in the conference finals, to the point that I'm just going to shout it down as much as I can until it finally happens. They can finally get off my TV.
That's right.
It's not like that. I hate the Hawks. It's just like,
jeez,
this is a team that was 41-31, you know, and if they didn't make a coaching change, who knows, like, where this team's at right now.
Is this good for the league? You got Phoenix in the finals. You got either Milwaukee or Atlanta going to be in the finals. I love it. I love it. I am glad that there is something different happening in the NBA. I think one of the worst criticisms that's been very valid of the NBA the last decade plus has been, you could pretty much go chalk in the playoffs, and that's what it's going to be. I love this. I wonder if this is good news overall for the NBA.
I think it is. I think in the short term, like, the ratings will suffer. But Devin Booker is
pretty awesome.
A guy who deserves to have the spotlight. And again, in 2015, 14, you know, Golden State, well, that's that, you know, I mean, now I'm not saying Phoenix is about to do that, but introducing new stars, I think, is great. There's a lot of them around this league, so I'm into it. And granted, I'm biased because I love the NBA.
Yeah.
But I think overall, having different markets and different stars is good.
When we come back, we will switch gears and get into the Titans, taking your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll do that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Mark from Clarksville on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. The Orlando Magic pinstripe jersey, those were the best. It's pretty nice.
Those were awesome. The Penny Hardaway, Shaq Penny Shaq. Days, those were very cool uniforms.
A lot of great uniforms in the 90s.
Like, I mean, what do they wear now? What do they have? I don't even know. What the heck do the Magic have now?
They're not awful. I'll say that. I kind of like their jerseys now, but, like, you can't beat the old pinstripes.
No. Like, why move away from that?
That's a really good question.
You know? I mean, the Pistons, to their credit, they did the stupid teal little unicorn thing for about 3-4 years, and then they're like, actually, let's go back to the red block letters, and that's what they are. I mean, there's a certain brand to it. Now, granted, they've been crappy at basketball for a long time now, but still, there's a brand to it.
Those teal ones, I'll always like those. Like, most people think those are ugly.
You tell them, Elijah.
Those are
kind of
sick.
There you go.
Those are kind of nice. That's very 90s.
Well, there is a little bit of a retro, because you're right. Some of it is in line with some of these other 90s jerseys, right?
Sure.
So now there's a retro thing to that, which I get, but
speaking of,
I only do 80s parties, not 90s parties.
Speaking of, I mean, now the door is open for some throwbacks in the NFL as well. I'd love to see a Houston Oilers throwback for the Titans. I think we're going to see it. Jim Wyatt was on with the guys yesterday on Darren Donica Chase and said, you know, I think maybe in a couple of years we might see that.
That's a couple of years? I thought it was happening this year.
Well, it's happening this year, but if you're going to do the throwback helmet, you got to have the throwback jersey too. I don't know. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I think at some point it's going to happen. I think it'd be a great look. Those nice baby blue, love you blue Houston Oilers jerseys, modern day, maybe modernized a little bit with the throwback helmets. I think it'd be great.
I think it's cool.
And I think you should wear it against the Houston Texans every time.
Oh.
Because that would go over well.
You troll the Houston.
Yeah.
Greater Houston area.
Why not?
Yeah, sure. I'm here for it.
So, Joe, just a few weeks away now from training camp for the Titans, and the team is off. They're off doing kind of their vacation stuff now before the season really begins and this season gets underway. And some interesting position battles that we've talked about earlier this week, but I want to talk today about some guys that we know they're going to be playing. They're going to be in the mix here for the Titans, but what does their future look like? And I think an interesting year for a couple of different players here with the Titans. I want to start with Rashawn Evans. We know that he struggled last year. 2019, I thought he was coming on, playing pretty well, especially towards the end of the season, into the playoffs. And then, much like the entire defense last year, just didn't work. And Rashawn Evans did not play well. And the Titans have not picked up his fifth-year option, which tells me, between that and then what they did in the draft, with drafting Monty Rice in the third round, that the writing appears to be on the wall for Rashawn Evans at this point. And I would put the percentage chance of him being here next season right around about 9%, maybe. Maybe that's too high. I've seen some people say 0% that Rashawn Evans is back. Is there anything that changes that? Like, what does Rashawn Evans have to do this year to secure a spot with this team next year? And the other question is, if he does play that well this year, does that not make it more likely that he leaves and gets more money on the open market? How do you kind of view the situation that Rashawn Evans is in with this group and this organization heading into a very important year for him in his career?
Yeah. Well, in this league, I mean, every team every year, there's a lot of guys who they're playing, even if it's not a quote-unquote contract year, I mean, they're playing, it's really important just on a personal level. And he's certainly one of those guys. I don't see how you are going to have Evans and Rice together, because that's the only, I mean, the thing is, of course, Jayon Brown back for this year, and I know it's like a longer deal, but it's just void years to, right, to make the deal work. I mean, he's back for this year. He may find the market to his liking and move on. I mean, to me, that's a much bigger priority for the Titans would be to keep him, because he gives you more of the coverage element, and he's just a more instinctive playmaker, you know, from what we've seen of Evans. If Evans has a great year, Evans in some ways is very impressive. I mean, he's sure, an explosive player, but
he's a goal line savant. He's unbelievable on the goal line.
You want him, yeah. You want him in the middle of that. Short yardage, he's great. But I don't see how Evans and Rice coexist. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that could work. I mean, it's not like I've seen a ton of Rice, but what we know of Rice, he reads as the replacement for Evans. So, yeah, I mean, I guess I wouldn't put it at zero, but I'd put it very low. And it's a huge year for Rashawn Evans in that way. I mean, his skill set is, let's face it, I mean, it's diminished in terms of market value in the NFL, you know. Not that there's not a place for it, but everybody's looking for linebackers who can go out and cover people and you know, take a back out of the backfield, you know, cover a tight end, and that's not what he is. And he's never really – he came in with the talk of, you know, he can be a little bit more of an edge presence maybe, move around. They actually did try that some last year, but it's not really – from what we've seen, it's not really his thing. So it's a big year on that front. I think other guys who I would count in that in a little bit different way, you know, Taylor Lewan is coming back from the ACL, huge for the Titans, huge cap number two. Kevin yep. Byard, also a bounce-back year, big cap number. Those guys sign big deals. Obviously, what happens is if you're not keeping it at a certain level at some point, it becomes more cost-effective to cut that player, as we just saw in the cornerback situation. So, like, those two guys I look at, key pillars, you know, foundation core guys for this team, but it changes fast in this league.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Got a texture that says Evans is gone. He's either going to not bounce back and the Titans won't want him, or he's going to ball out and the Titans won't pay him. I hear that, and I think that's a very popular theme, and I don't necessarily disagree with it. But, like, at some point, if he goes out there and plays really well this year, like, at some point for John Robinson and the Titans, maybe it's a good idea to keep your first-round picks as they move forward. We think we're going to get to that point at any point where you draft somebody in the first round, and by the time their next contract comes around, they're still as a member of your team and still in your organization. Like, that's got to start happening at some point with this group, right?
Yeah. I mean, you can't do it all the time, because then you'll be over the cap.
Sure.
But, yeah, you want I don't know what the exact percentage hit rate would be, but I would think you'd want it to be around 50%, something like that. You want to draft guys who – you know, you want to give that second deal.
Well, now, and to that point.
Now, they've drafted guys not in the first round who they have.
Right, and I feel pretty confident Jeffrey Simmons is probably going to get a second deal here. It's just my guess. Going to happen, but, I mean, think about it. Jack Conklin is somewhere else. Corey Davis is now somewhere else. Adoree Jackson is now somewhere else. I mean, you're talking a lot of first-round picks here that have not gotten second deals here with this group. And then – no, Isaiah Wilson is a situation all unto himself, and we've talked extensively about Isaiah Wilson here on the show, but a lot of first-round picks that you've had in John Robinson's tenure that just aren't here anymore. Like, that's got to start to change at some point.
Maybe you should have traded a first for Julio instead of a second. You do well in the second.
There were people that suggested that.
You know, just trade the first, and then you don't have to deal with it. But, yeah, I mean, I think Simmons right now, I would guess that. I wouldn't call it an absolute lock either, though. I mean, I think it's an important year for him after – again, I think last year he was banged up, but being banged up is probably the number one reason that a lot of these things don't work out, right? So, but if he has the year that I think he might have, and he, you know, he talked about it, he's gotten in much better shape, if he can stay healthy, then I think that'll be an easy one.
Not going vegan, though.
No.
So that life's not for him.
Yeah. I mean, Jarrell Casey went vegan and stuff, and I got to be honest, like, I didn't see, like, this body transformation with him. Nah, I mean, I was like, man, I mean, throwing a steak, right?
Eat a cheeseburger every now and then, man.
Well, I mean, cheeseburger, maybe not, but like a steak, like, you know, some lean meat.
Grilled chicken?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. I mean,
I don't know how people do it. There's no way I could do it.
If I went vegan, could I have donuts?
I don't think so, probably not. Because that sounds like too good of a deal.
There's got to be some kind of animal product in there, right?
I would guess.
There's no telling what's in there sometimes.
I mean, you obviously can't have butter. But, I mean, like, you could go vegan or / vegetarian and eat terribly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'll sit there and eat Cheez-Its all day if you want. That's vegetarian.
What, be vegan then?
It's not vegan, but it's vegetarian.
There you go.
Yeah, vegan's tough. That one is. Like basically like...
That one forces you to eat
tree
well.
Stalks.
A lot of kale.
Sounds very appetizing.
I like kale loaded with bacon and feta.
Yeah, me too. See if we can't work on that. We'll continue the conversation on the Titans when we come back. Taking your thoughts on our text line as well. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Go to thegamenashville.com to check out Nashville's best deals. Deals happening now include a $50 Bad Axe Throwing Nashville gift card for only $25, a buy one, get one free for Beach Bend Park and Splash Lagoon, and $20 Grain and Berry gift cards for only $10. Get yours now while they last at thegamenashville.com. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Talking Titans, taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. We're going to get into a little name, image, and likeness discussion coming up in the 8 o'clock hour, including something that Elijah Campbell just sent me on Twitter, which looks like basically a cameo for college athletes. So that's going
to
be something.
Does this mean Stillman's going to try to horn his way in on that, too?
I don't know.
Stillman's like, hey, I was a manager for Louisville. Can I get in on this?
Maybe so.
Dreamfield with Jared. This is no fun. He's on vacation, so he's probably not listening.
Wow.
Although, he may be pumping iron right now on vacation and listening on the app.
Maybe so.
I'd like to think so.
Nothing would get me more motivated than listening to Joe rant while I work out.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, man. He. I now need to go to Jared's Cameo page. It's been a long time. Remember that day when he went on Cameo? That was fun.
That was fun. We need to check and see if there have been any continual requests on that front. I hadn't heard him bring it up in a while.
Yeah. So Dreamfield is like Cameo. So it's like wish people different things or something.
Yeah, I'm trying to find out what it
is
right now.
Send personalized messages.
All I saw was a screen grab from somebody else's tweet where it had just players and prices. And, like, De'Aaron King was, like, what, $1,000, something like that. Mackenzie Melton was $2,000. Michael Penix from Indiana was, like, $500. I don't know what it is they're doing.
Matt Corral's $10,000.
Yeah, I saw that.
And there's no picture of him. There's no picture.
And what's funny is,
$10,000?
Yeah, I saw that screen grab.
SEC, it just means more, baby.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's incredible. It's from Bunky Perkins' Twitter account.
You imagine somebody paying $10,000 to get a personalized message from Matt Corral.
Yeah, you might need to adjust. There's going to be a lot of, like, in general, there's going to be a lot of market adjusting here soon.
Yeah.
You know?
Get more bang for your buck at the Golden Corral.
Yes, you could. Ooh. That is for sure.
Haven't been there in a while.
It's like, look, Matt Corral, good player last year for Ole Miss. Nice season for him under Lane Kiffin.
Was Jared?
Don't know that I'd pay $10,000.
Yeah, that's a little much. Was Jared $15 last year? Has he lowered the price? It says book now $15.
I think that's the minimum.
Did he start? Is that what he was? I think he was more.
There's some for like $5.
Really?
You'd be amazed. Now I don't know who these people are. See, what me and my friends like to do is we'll get one of those $5 ones and we'll just like have them roast like all of us.
Yeah.
And then that's good cheap thrills and
sure.
Funny action, but
so Jared's not.
You can get
them
pretty cheap.
Wow, I'm shocked.
I'm clicking on his reviews right now, but the website's going very – it's going slow, maybe because it's overloaded with requests.
Just great takes.
I'm trying to get in here.
See what happens on that front. Right now, talking Titans, and you brought up Jeffrey Simmons, and I agree. This is a big year for him. I feel like his fifth-year option will be picked up by the Titans. But look, I mean, I think he's been very good since he's come in with the Titans. I think there's another level that he needs to get to, and theoretically, he's got the pieces in place around him this year to do that. You got Autry coming in on the other side, Harold Landry, which you feel good about if you're a Titans fan, but Bud Dupree coming in as well to bolster the pass rush should help Jeffrey Simmons if they can all stay healthy and be a front where maybe he can wreak more havoc coming in up the middle. Now, we've talked about him before. I think that he was dealing with an injury at the end of last year, and that's part of why the production wasn't as strong in the second half of the season, and he wasn't making quite as many game-changing plays. Like, as bad as that defense was last year, Jeffrey Simmons had some big moments, whether it was, you know, deflecting a pass at the line of scrimmage against Jacksonville or forcing a fumble against the Bears. I mean, he had a lot of big moments last year for that Titans defense. You need to continue to do that this year if you're Jeffrey Simmons, but I still, and I'll repeat this until I see him do it. Like, I think he needs to be more of a factor in the pass rush, and that's got to happen starting this year, I think, for Jeffrey Simmons on that front.
Yeah, like we did the thing on MVP for the Titans at the Athletic, and, you know, I did the really, you know, deep dive to say the quarterback. However, although, again, I bet you 85% of people would not pick the quarterback for this team around the league. But, like, there's a guy. If it's like if it was Jeffrey Simmons, what would that mean? You know,
that would either be great for Jeffrey Simmons or really bad news for everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to. I guess if anyone on defense were to be that, then what does that say about your offense? It could say just that it's so equitable and spread out that just everybody's eating, the offense is scoring, but there's no. That's why I picked Tannehill, by the way, because the QB is going to have numbers if that's the case. But a guy to step up and be a star for this defense, to be just a game wrecker, you know, I think he has that in him. I think we've seen glimpses of it, and I do. I think early last year you saw more than a glimpse, and then later in the year you saw a lot less. And when a guy is basically not practicing and playing on Sundays, that tells you what you need to know about his physical condition. And by that I mean, you know, the injury situation. But it's also very hard to avoid that in this league.
It is.
Some guys can still perform through that, and some guys are more durable and avoid it. Yes, I did. I know. I just muted myself in the middle of the sentence. And then so many great players in this league don't become great players because of injuries.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Ron texting in. Good morning, guys. I feel the Titans just need to be average this year on defense and let the offense carry them. Next year, the cap will be better, and we can really fix the defense and give them an identity. If the team plays well together this year, it only makes sense to try to keep our core players with the help of the cap going up next year. The offense should be able to put up 24 points plus every game. I'm excited about this season and what the defense could look like.
It better be more than 24.
Yeah.
That's an almost 7-point drop, touchdown less than last year. You know, you want to be hovering around 30.
Around there. Yeah.
You should be.
Well, and, you know, to his other point about the cap going up, I mean, I agree. That's going to help. But if you're the Titans, on that side of the ball, on defense, I mean, you're hoping that things go well enough this year where you're not making a whole lot of changes. Like, you've got your secondary is young. So it's not like you're going to be bringing in a ton of new pieces next year, theoretically, in the secondary. What you're hoping is the pass rush works out with Bud Dupree and you don't have to go spend an arm and a leg to go get another pass rusher next year as well.
Yeah.
I mean, draft one.
You'd have to just draft high.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the thing. You've invested now. And, again, that's why I look at the Rashawn Evans thing. But, you know, the Byard is interesting, too. I mean, just Byard is – I mean, I think he's a leader of this defense. He's been a great player for the Titans. You know, you get to cap numbers that are about 15 mil, and it's like he's got to be a top five safety in the NFL, or at some point, a hard decision is made. As much of a, not only, you know, great player as he's been for the Titans, but just, I mean, representative, all that stuff.
Sure.
It's just that stuff eventually takes a back seat to the cold, hard economics of this league. So it's a big year for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to find out this year, hopefully. Was last year a result of everything around him, or was he diminishing a little bit as a player? I tend to think it was a result of everything going on around him, and we'll see whether or not that's significantly improved this year, because I think it's going to be. To Ron's point on the text line, I think if you polled Titans fans right now and you said, hey, your defense, they're going to finish with 43 sacks, you're going to end up right around 17th in the league in total defense. I think every Titans fan in the world would sign up for that right now.
Yes.
Like nobody, you know, if you just said that 2 years ago, like 17th, really? I don't know. 42 sacks, 43 sacks? That's not – need to get a little bit more than that. I think every Titans fan in the world would sign up for that right now, and then you take your chances with this offense.
Yeah, you're more than doubling your sacks. Now, middle of the league is fine. I mean, it's specific areas. You obviously third down defense.
That's got to get a lot
better. Sacks. You know, red zone defense is really, it's so much about success in this league. Red zone offense and defense. You got to be good there. If you're good there, let them load up the yards between the 20s. And then you got to be great still on offense in the red zone, which has been tremendous. And by the way, if you're talking about Todd Downing and optimism / pessimism for him, he has been the red zone guy for this offense. So that's something to keep in mind, too.
Ron on the text line says, a lot of fans I talk to are worried about the backup quarterback position. If Tannehill goes down for 4 to 5 games this year, do you guys have faith that this team will still make the playoffs?
No.
No.
I mean, I get four. So 4 games? I mean, I guess.
Are they 7-0 when he goes down?
Yeah. I mean, maybe, but no, if he misses extended time, Titans are host. And again, go through the league and just the good teams with good starting quarterbacks and find me all the teams that are feeling okay about number 2. There's a few.
Let's give the ball to Derrick Henry.
There are not many. Oh, look at Elijah's in there like, that's Saints, right, baby. We got two number 2 quarterbacks.
We got Jameis Winston as our number 2.
That's right.
We are A-OK. That's a former number 1 overall pick.
That's true.
You honestly think Jameis Winston's not going to be the starting quarterback?
Who knows?
It's not going to be Taysom freaking Hill as your starting
who
quarterback.
Who knows?
Come on.
Who knows? He went 3-1 as a starter.
But who started last year when Drew Brees was out? Was it Taysom Hill or was it
Jameis
Winston?
But Jameis is going to win the job. He actually can play quarterback.
Who started last year when Drew Brees was out? Was it Taysom Hill or
Jameis
Winston?
Do you want to do a pedicure bet right now? We can do a new one.
I'll take 2.
But you'll take 2 pedicures?
I might, yeah. 2 pedicures if Taysom Hill isn't the starter week 1. Even though I really don't even think I believe that. I just really want it to happen.
Fine, we'll bet a pedicure.
Okay.
1 pedicure. James, you in on this?
No.
Okay, there you go. Jameis Winston.
Robbie dodged a bullet once already. Yeah. He's not going to play with fire again.
Jameis Winston will absolutely be the starting quarterback.
By the way, what's happening? I guess we're done with the pedicure with Heidi because they did not win.
I still think maybe, you know, we need to give Tim Corbin some time.
Well, how long are we giving him? We're going to ask him next season? Hey, by the way, let's take us back to the NC State game that was supposed to take place on that Saturday last year.
Maybe we can have him on like next week.
Okay.
And then you can bring it up.
Okay, we'll see what we can do on that front. Speaking of Tim Corbin, he is a college baseball coach. College athletics, it's a wild day today in the world. There are some doozies going on social media right now with this name, image, and likeness that begins today in the world of college sports. We'll react to that coming up next. Hit some of the highlights of it as well. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Here on ESPN 102.5, The Game.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No